I don't know how many weeks, but several weeks. I cannot get beyond this. I actually, this week, thought, Lord, I need to turn the page and preach in another direction. I cannot get away from this. I feel so strong in my spirit that God wants to move in our Jerusalem. He wants to start it here in Jerusalem. I know we have great national needs, but if every locality, every local group, every local church would realize that if we could see God move locally, it will spread. It will have an effect upon our state and our nation. That's really the answer. And so I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound like a broken record. For those of you that are old enough to know what broken records are, but I'm not just repeating, but I am declaring what I really believe that the Lord is speaking to me, laying on my heart, and I trust that the Lord will help us today as we look at a couple of verses in Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2, to get started here today. Isaiah 60. The first two verses, and I know this is a prophetic declaration concerning the Messiah, Jesus, to come. And it describes what this world is like without Jesus. The circumstance and the predicament of a world that doesn't have Christ. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. It's pretty simple, that the earth is covered with darkness, and the only hope for light is Jesus. And when he steps on the scene, then everything can be changed, and there can be a complete transformation. And that's what we're asking the Lord for. We're asking that God would transform our city through prayer. That he would transform our city. The little song that Tyler sang, it was written, of course, the London verse was about London, England. But we thought, isn't that appropriate for what we're talking about? Because we don't live over there. We live here. This is our community. This is our Jerusalem. You know, a community, and all over the nation, there are little communities, larger communities, but a community is really just where people have gathered together. They live in close proximity, and they share several things. They share location, geographic location. They share government. We're all under the government of our community, both city and county. And we share a similar culture. We know that people do things here in Kentucky and in Southeast Kentucky in ways that maybe it's not done in other places. And talk and use expressions that maybe aren't used in other places. It's our culture. We also have a heritage here, a heritage in London and Laurel County. A very rich heritage as far as spiritual things, and a rich heritage as far as Pentecostal outpouring is concerned. And so that's all a part of our... Now, everyone doesn't share the heritage, the spiritual heritage that we're talking about, but this community has felt the impact of it. It has felt the impact of this spiritual heritage. Now, here's the thing that is troubling me, and that is that there are forces at work in our world and in our community that want to destroy what God wants to build up. Now you say, well, who is it? Let's get rid of them. Let's vote them out, or let's take care of them. But really, the forces that are at work in our world today that are opposing God and opposing righteousness and the cause of Christ are evil, dark forces, satanic forces that are at work. Today, I don't mean that the political leaders are demonic, but I do know that there is the influence and the powers of darkness that are behind much of what is going on in our world today. You remember we said the pledge, our school says the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag every day. And that pledge describes some important things about who we are, that we are one nation, and that's being debated today because we are not one, we're a divided nation. It says we're a one nation, it says we're under God, and it says we're indivisible. All of those things are not true. Now, we pledged to them because they were the original design and the plan for this nation by our founders. But today, we say those in faith and hope that it can be restored, that we can become, once again, a united nation, one nation, under God, the God of the Bible, and that we'll be a nation that is not divided. And that can happen only by a move of God. No political force can accomplish that. No politician can accomplish that. No man can accomplish that. It has to happen by the work of the Spirit of God. Thank God for the rich heritage and the history, the spiritual history that we have here. But as I said, there are forces at work. The enemy is at work in our world and in our nation and in our community to destroy what God has established. So there are spiritual battles that must be fought, that can only be fought as we are a people that know how to pray, that know how. How do I know that we are in a spiritual battle? I know it because of all the casualties that we can see around us. It's why Jamie Mosley is calling for a prayer meeting, because there are 550 inmates in a jail that really only has room for 350. 200 inmates on mats or without beds at all. And the situation in our community is that there are many casualties of this spiritual attack against people, against families, against churches, against young people, against the generation that is coming on. Right now, there's a spiritual battle, a spiritual attack. And there is a new direction that is being set in our community. It is a nation, or it is a move away from God. It is a gradual move away from the things of God and from a respect for God's word, a respect for righteousness, a respect for purity, a respect for morality. And we're moving away from that. Little by little, we are moving away from that in our city, in our county. And it's brought about changes that are gradually being made. It's not only me. I'm not the lone person that's thinking something has to be done. Something has to happen. There has to be changes take place, or else we're going to continue moving in a direction, and it won't be very long if we do nothing that we won't even recognize the community that we live in right now. It will just be a sad reminder of what used to be if we do not take steps. Well, the battle, as I said, it's not in the political arena. Well, I think you should vote. I think it's important to do your civic duty. But the real battle is not in the ballot box. The real battle is a spiritual battle. The real battle is in the realm of the Spirit of God. As I have dealt with this in my mind, meditating on this and preparing for this, I have fought the devil. I'm telling you, you always know when you're on the right track, when the devil is jumping on you from every direction. In the last couple of days, it's just like several things, different things to worry you or to trouble you or to interrupt you. And then the last thing that happened is my computer crashed yesterday. And so today, for the first time, I'm preaching, for the first time in years, I'm preaching from notes, 3 pages of notes that I hand write, and I can't hardly read my writing. And that's frightening. So we're really going to have the help of the Lord today. Amen. The battle is in the heavens. That's where the battle is. It's a battle against righteousness and purity. It's a battle that must be fought here on earth if we're to see heaven brought down to earth. And it's through the power of prayer that what is going on in heaven can happen on earth, can be happening here in the world that we live in right now. And the church is able to do that through the power of prayer as we unite together to seek the Lord when Christians really see the urgency of the time and they recognize that prayer can make a difference. Then we can bring what is going on in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The things that are going on in the heavenlies, that God's will be brought down to this earth and brought down to our community. And these things that we see happening in the direction that's being set today by people that are not considering God or the Word of God, that the church can be an important and the most important force in a community. Praise God for that. Amen. The Bible says that he is far above, that's where Christ is positioned, far above principalities and power. He's far above all of these things that are going on in this world. But as we seek the Lord, he is able to put all of these things under his feet and to bring defeat and destruction to the enemy. So the real battle is an invisible battle in our world. Everything that we see around us is visible and it's physical. But really behind it all, behind the scenes, there's this invisible force, invisible antagonizing of the enemy against everything that is good and righteous and true. And the enemy's fighting against it, trying to destroy it. And when we lose our concern and our burden to pray, then the battle is being lost all around us. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not physical. They're not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Only as we are in touch with God, only as we are calling upon the Lord, then we can have an influence in our world that we live in today. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. It's not in the physical realm, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a battle going on, and we feel the effect of it in this world. But the church can be united, a united force to pray and to seek the Lord. What do we see in the physical world? We see addiction, drug addiction, alcoholism, suicide, crime that's out of control, greed, corruption, man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. We see a culture that does not fear God, that doesn't even have a God awareness. That's the culture that we live in, and that's what we see, a culture that's pushing God out. But it's the will of God, and as we seek the Lord in a united front, calling upon the name of the Lord, that our community can be transformed. And it only will happen in the realm of the Spirit. And as we are winning the battle and winning this victory in the Spirit, what's really going on behind the scenes, all these things, is the devil, a satanic force that wants to destroy young people with drugs and alcohol, wants to destroy families and homes and marriages, wants to destroy, even through crime, destroy the community, and for the community to live in fear and apprehension. The enemy is behind all the greed and all the corruption and all of these things that we have mentioned. Behind it all is a diabolical force of hell that is working against what God wants to do. And what's the answer? I know it sounds simple, but it's really not that simple. The answer is a church that knows how to seek God and to touch God. A people of God that know how to pray. John Wesley said that God does nothing but by prayer. It is only when we take it to heart and realize if there's going to be a victory won, as Brother Tyler mentioned, God has some big things he wants to do. Wonderful outpouring of the Spirit. Fill up this building with seekers. That's God's plan and that's God's will. He wants to send revival to us here locally. I know that he does, but the answer to that is prayer. Seeking God. Calling upon the Lord. That's the answer to seeing these things happening among us. Amen. Nothing really stirs up the enemy until you begin to talk about prayer. Then the enemy gets stirred up. I fully expect and predict that between now, if it's not already happened, and a week from Tuesday night, the prayer meeting at the jail, that the enemy is going to raise his ugly head, and there are going to be people coming in saying, you can't do that. This is county property. And you can't have a prayer meeting on county property. Just see if I'm a prophet or not. It might happen. It very likely will. Even if it doesn't happen, Satan will fight that effort. He will try to stop the effort of prayer, seeking the Lord. Because he knows that even just 1 hour of fervent prayer by the people of God has enough power to change what the enemy has been trying to do for weeks and months and years in this community. 1 hour of people truly seeking God can make such a difference and in tearing down the strongholds of the enemy. Amen. And I believe that God wants to work just that way. He wants to move just that way through a church. You know, I've said this a lot of times, but I am just thoroughly convinced that God has positioned us here, this local church, where we are in the community. We're visible, we're right on Main Street, and God has blessed the church to be in such a position here to have an influence in the community. We're not here just to come together, walk into this building, and have wonderful services, and then walk out the door and not ever think about the fact that our community is going down the drain. We have to involve ourselves. And as I said, politics, yeah, we should be involved. We should vote. Should we be active in our communities? Yes, we should. We should involve ourselves in doing what we can, serving and involving as much as we can. But there is really only one answer for the city of London and Laurel County, and that is the churches and the Christians of this community calling upon the face of the Lord, humbling themselves, calling upon God, and asking God to come and to heal our community. Amen. Moody said that every great movement of God can be traced to some kneeling figure. I believe that. I believe that God wants to work and he wants to move. So I'm just going to mention about four areas where we're under attack that we need to pray about. We need to pray, first of all, concerning the attack against us individually. All of us. Because one of the greatest tricks of the enemy is for you to have a surface relationship with God that has no depth to it. That there's no real walk with Jesus. There's no real love for Jesus. I mean, we love the things of God. We love we love to go to church. We love the things of God. But somehow we've got ourselves in a place where there's no real sold out complete dedication to Jesus Christ. Jesus is a part of your life, but he's not the center of your life. You've centered your life around a lot of other things, but Jesus and his call and his plan for you is not the center of your life. And the enemy is the one that is attacking you in this respect. To keep you from making a personal dedication to God, from selling out to the Lord 100% to God. Oh, and such a deceptive lie. Such a deceptive lie. There are Christians who sit in churches all across this country every Sunday. And it's not, they don't hate God, they don't hate the church, they don't hate the things of God. They just love themselves more than they love the things of God. So they truly, if they look closely and evaluate their life, they're on the throne of their life. They're doing what they want. Their time is consumed with their pleasures and their interests. They do what they want to do, and they have not submitted themselves to the will of God or to the plan of God for their life individually. Amen. So that's an attack. That's one of the attacks that we have to pray. Lord, do something in me, do a work in me, that my personal walk with the Lord becomes so important to me, more important to me than anything else, that I'm walking with you, Lord, and living according to your plan and your will. The second area of an attack is in the area of our families in our church and community. The enemy wants to attack. Why does he attack families? The family is, it always speaks to generations to come. All these wonderful little children that we prayed for last Sunday, and all the younger ones, the little babies that we have here in the nursery, and all these precious kids, all of them are depending on mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, extended families. They are depending on you and me experiencing such a move of God in our lives personally, individually, and in our family, that they will have an environment to grow up in where God is moving in their life. God is moving in their family. But there truly is a move of God. Oh, Satan hates the family. He hates marriage. He hates it all. Could I just tell you, married people today, married couples, young or old, that the enemy has zeroed in on you. He has targeted your home, your family, and he has a diabolical plan to try to destroy you and your children. Yes, he does. It is only by the grace of God, it's only as you commit yourself to the Lord and to seeking the Lord, that the family will survive. You know what the Bible says about divorce? God hates divorce. That's what the Bible says. God hates divorce. Divorce is so destructive. And I know, and I see people and talk to people all the time that have gone through the tragedy of a divorce. And all the ramifications of that. God hates it because of the far-reaching effect upon the spiritual life of the generation that is to come. I know it happens. I know it's sad and it's heartbreaking when it does happen. But I know that God hates it, and we should hate it. Amen? We should hate it, and we should love the family and understand that God wants us as a family to win this spiritual battle, to pray and to seek the Lord as individuals, as a family, and as a church. You know, it's so important that the church, you know, if we have no building and we have no sound system and we have no musicians and no singers and we have no other people, other workers or talent or people that are involving in any other aspect of the ministry, but if we've got some people who know how to pray, they're still hope. Amen. There's still going to be hope if there's people that know how to call upon the name of the Lord. Sad to say, we have to watch ourselves that the church never become a show of the flesh. We do not want a show of the flesh. We don't want anything that's demonstrating the flesh or inviting the flesh to be glory, because we know that in the church, this is where Christ must be glorified. This is the place where he must be the center of all that we were doing. I have a confession to make. The Lord gave our church a mandate 2001. It was a prayer mandate. And for many years, there was few or sometimes many people who gathered into this church at 6 a.m. to pray. Lots of years. Some years, there were times when people were coming in to pray that from the community, we didn't even know who they were. but they just were looking for a place to pray. They came in and they prayed and left. Didn't attend our church, but they came to those prayer meetings. And it was God. God is the one that established that. It was the will of God that it be established here in the church. And that's 2001. That's a lot of years. In the last few years, thankfully, Brother James Hacker has prayed here week after week, day after day. I've been down here one day, maybe 2 days a week. I can't really explain all the reasons, except none of them are good enough. None of them. So in recent weeks, God has so impressed on me since I've had this burden for the community. You've got to be back in the middle of that. You've got to be doing that. That was my call. That was my mandate for the church. So I've been here. Sometimes I'm really tired. Sometimes I'm wore out. But I've been here. And honestly, I know that God is working. I know that he's working. When I walk across the front of this building early in the morning, I sense God is working. God is moving. God is speaking. God is doing some things. I'm not asking you to come at 6 o'clock. I'm not going to ask anyone to do that. I'm only asking you to obey God. But I do urge you, please, start your day with the Lord. Start your day with the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord for each individual in our church. Call upon the Lord for the church, for the community, for a move of God. And I believe that God is going to do wonderful, mighty things. So there's been lots of prayers prayed here for the last 16 years. Brother Huff invested all those years. I saw him walk and pray in here when he was too sick to be here, but he came anyway. I saw him walk until he had to sit down and pray on that front seat right there because he believed in the power of prayer, and he understood that this was the call of God for us here at this church. And so I just want to encourage you, challenge you to see that we're in a battle. We're in a battle, but this battle is winnable. We can win this battle. We can see God move. We can see God move. I do not believe that God calls us to prayer, but what that he does not also, along with the call, give us the assurance that he is going to answer the prayer, that he's going to move. So I fully believe that God, and you know me well enough to know that I just don't get up here and say, God said this or God spoke to me. And I don't make those claims all that often. But when you know that you know that you know that you know to the depths of your spirit that this is God working and speaking and God wants to transform our community. Amen. He wants to move in our community and pour his spirit out upon us. Individually, in our homes, in our families, in our church, and in this community and culture. He wants to change the culture back to a culture that respects God, back to a culture that honors God's word, back to a culture that has faith and confidence in God. I'm not saying everybody's going to become a Pentecostal. I'm not saying everyone's going to be just like us. I'm just asking God, bring back a consciousness of your presence and your power and a respect and an awe of your presence back into this community. Amen. You make an impact whenever you are a person of prayer. Transformation that can take place in the city of London and Laurel County through praying people. What would happen if 10 people decided they were going to pray every day for our community? What if 100 people decided they were going to pray every day for our community? What about 1,000? We've got between 60 and 70,000 people in Laurel County. What if 1,000 of those people determined that they were going to pray and start their day calling upon the Lord and asking God to pour out His Spirit, that His will, as it is in heaven, would be brought down into our community, and He would pour out His Spirit. It would be the salvation of young people that are addicted to drugs. It would be the salvation. It would be such a move of God that those that are wanting to sell liquor will have a hard time selling it. There won't be that many buyers. And those that are interested in moving our community in a direction, that they will come under the awareness of the presence of God and the power of God, and they will see the need to turn back to the Lord. Amen. Do you believe God? Do you believe His word? Amen. Just as Jesus the Messiah came on the scene and all the darkness had to be completely gone because the light dispelled that darkness, so is it true if the church becomes a bright shining light in the community through the power of prayer, then the darkness will have to be pushed back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I ask you to believe God, to agree together, to bind together in unity. God won't move in a circumstance when there is not unity, when we really bind together to pray and to seek the Lord. Amen. Let's believe God. I want to ask you, the church and individuals, would you stand with me right now? I want us to close out this service today calling upon the Lord, calling upon the Lord individually. If you're not right with the Lord, if you have strayed away from God's plan for your life, that you would repent and turn back to God. As a church, that we would once again commit ourselves to the mandate that God has given to us to seek the face of God. And believe that God is going to work and move whenever people pray. Call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Amen.